Welcome, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I'm Veronica Entwistle, your host, and I love doing interviews with people who are making a difference, who are actually paradigm shifters on these turbulent and changing times on our planet. My guest today is Jeannie Markwell, who's a chiropractor, but she also has studied through the mystery schools, lineages of King Solomon, and a number, I think, seven ancient lineages, taking you and I through some very historical, magical powers. She and I were talking about the turbulence of politics on our planet these days. So let's enter the conversation that is already underway.
And you finally identify that infection, and you do what it takes to kill off that infection. There's a process called die-off. Where okay. The infection tends to get a lot worse before it gets better. I think we're there. You know, if you look at the systems and structures of our politics, of our healthcare system, of the banking system, of education, we're in a process where there's a lot of dis-ease happening,
really?
A lot of discomfort. People are starting to really question the authorities and the status quo because they want different, they want better. And we're in this period of shift, but in order to get through all of that muck, the die-off needs to happen. So we're seeing a lot more of the ugliness or the darkness, the shadows of those systems, because we're breaking them down and actually looking at the reality of what's probably always been there, but it was just not as well spoken about.
Because it's like the revelations, isn't it? It's revelations.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And so we're in a time of shift, and it's happening. Like we're coming through some change right now.
Well, talk about shift. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, it's a process of constant creation. So if we continue to try to recreate new from the systems that already exist, we're not really going to get change. But I think because of how things have gotten and how public acknowledgement has come to the discomfort of how things have gotten, like people are looking outside the box. They're wanting it to be different. And so a lot more people are rising up and becoming vocal about what they want. And we can see that in politics again and in the environmental platforms and in public education. And, you know, all of our major systems, we're seeing people come up and starting to like really question and you know, bring resistance to how things are.
Let me ask you this. Do you think
it will allow us to change?
Well, I just want to ask one more thing, which is in your studies in the Hermetic and the ancient lineage and so on, is this, and in your neurological studies, it doesn't matter which way we approach you, does it? It's that, do you think that we as a species are developing greater potential talents? Is the frequency of the universe is speeding up? That's what I keep being told. And are we a higher frequency essentially than we were? Do you want to talk a bit about all that?
I do. I think that there is a shift. And if you look at the children of today, they are technologically advanced. Their level of empathy is very different. They're highly sensitive, yet also less attached, you know? And so I think in a lot of ways, the frequency of the children coming in is different. Their desires are different. Their sense of attachment or, you know, even loyalty is different. And that can be positive and negative in our current culture. But I think that match of technology and spirituality and sensitivity needs to happen for us to progress in the way that that will really create significant change. Mm-hmm. And I think the children coming through now are going to help us significantly in creating that because they're already wired for it. You know, and if we look
so
at
they're
the
not attached
of,
to the way things used
example,
to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not attached to the way things used to be, but they're not even attached to the way things are. If you look at how teenagers date nowadays, it's collective. It's in group. They go out as groups. They may date this person. They might date that person. There's gender fluidity. So they may date a female. They may date a male. Like, it kind of doesn't matter. There's no attachment to like structure and boundaries the way that I was brought up, you know, me being a teenager 30 plus years ago. Mm-hmm. And so looking at the difference of that, and then looking at the shift of level of loyalty from my parents' generation, like kids of today, you know, it's very rare to see a young person stay in a job for 30 years. Like it's just not their mentality. They're like, what's the next good thing? Like what comes up next for me, you know? And so it's a very different mentality. And I think a lot of people look upon that as a negative thing. You know, but there's a positive to it. It's like they constantly want stimulation. They want to be a part of the group. They want to have a good time. They want to have fun. They want to be in joy. They want to know what's the best thing for me right now.
But
they
you know what, Jeannie, I keep
whole,
thinking there's a cellular.
Don't necessarily think of the big picture.
But I keep thinking that there's a cellular awakening going on in them, and they're seeking some response
I think
to
hugely.
That. Yeah, so that their parenting,
yeah,
the parents
I would
might
agree.
Look a little irrelevant at times, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
So
I would say yes.
So I want to drop back into King Solomon for a moment. Did he have a perspective?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't studied King Solomon, and you have. So did he have a perspective on, for example, the shift, the evolution of species through time? Did he have that kind of thing as well?
Definitely. So, King Solomon had this amazing, ginormous kingdom, and it was his mission to create world peace. Like, he wanted to see in his period of time Shambhala on earth. And so what he did was he called in all of the different tribes and communities of that time, all of their healers, medicine men and women, shamans, the great healers, and called them into his kingdom. And so he brought this group together, and now not only did just the shaman come, but they brought all their people, they brought their family and their, support system. So hundreds of thousands of people ended up into this kingdom. You know, I think it was like 200,000 inhabitants at the time, something like that. And they studied together for about 20 to 30 years documented. And what they did was they brought all of the modalities that they use for health and healing and, tested them and utilized them and worked with them
and shared
through
them.
That they came up with, yes, exactly. And they kept the ones that worked for everyone consistently. So like the ones that continue to be passed down now are the modalities that were brought together that worked for everyone and were consistent. The results were consistent and measurable. And so out of that came a modality called the life activation, which is a DNA activation that works physiologically to create shift and change in the physical structure and the energetic structure of the human. And so we still work with the modality today. And most people that enter into the mystery school, that's their starting point.
Does that also affect the mind? Okay. I mean, you did your neurological studies. I'm going... There's so much mental health problem these
it
days.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. You know, looking at, again, going back to neuroimmunology and epigenetics, we could trace that about 80% of all dysfunction in the body, whether physical expression of trauma, over 80% of it is linked to emotional disturbance.
Yes.
Or emotional factors.
Yes.
You know, so most people live in their fight or flight sympathetic nervous system. And we need to have a balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic. And so this modality is a series of energy balancing, the life activation. There's a series of energy balancing where we work in the etheric structure, the aura, the chakras, the elemental planes, the magnetic field, to clear and balance all of those different areas. Once we have everything cleared and balanced, then we go in and we do the actual activation, which there are 12 receptors in the spine, which, there are no accidents there. The spine and the nervous system is the central controller of the human body. So we go into the spine, 12 receptors, and each one deals with a different aspect of our being human. So there's the musculoskeletal system, the circulatory system, the nervous system. We have our emotional body, our mental body, our physical DNA lineage, our genetic lineage. We have our ancestral and spiritual lineage. We've got our intuitive senses, so on and so forth.
And do you actually see that, or do you feel it, or do you measure it?
Well, simple answer is yes. But every practitioner that does the modality may sense it a little bit different. It depends on what senses are most heightened for you. So some people can physically see it. Some people feel it. Some people just have a knowing. Some people smell it. Some people taste it. It depends on what senses is your gift. And there are five physical senses, there are also five psychic senses or five spiritual senses. And, you know, through the teachings of the Mystery School, you learn the difference of acknowledging those senses and how to recognize which sense is there, but also how to develop them. And so in the modality of the life activation, you're wielding all of those different energies to create shift and change or to facilitate shift and change for a person. And then after we do the activation and we work in each of those 12 receptors, we go back in through the etheric structure and do a reading for the individual. And the reading will typically bring through information that is going to help that person align more fully with their purpose and move forward in their life.
So you're saying you move the obstructions first. You mean you, the blocks or the vaguenesses that are in the aspects of the person's 12 zones, for want of a better word. Is that right? You move that first before you see clearly what the purpose is or know clearly what the purpose is. Is that right?
Right.
Hmm. And exactly. how long does all that take?
And so this process, typically it's a 90-minute session. The modality itself takes about an hour, but we always, you know, allot some time to chat and such, mm-hmm. you know, so usually 90-minute session. And once done, it's done. It's not a session that you have to repeat over and over and over again. Like it's a, you know, one shot, you're connected to source and there you go.
Wow. That sounds wonderful. And you've got great results with people.
I have. It's been amazing. And so, you know, again, kind of linking it back to my work as a chiropractor, what would typically take me a year to accomplish in terms of physiological change with just chiropractic alone can happen within 4 to 6 weeks after a life activation. And one of the most beautiful things about it is this is lineage work, and it works on the physical genetic expression, on the DNA of the individual. And what we're seeing based on technology that I use to measure progress chiropractically, is that when we do a life activation on the parent, we see the same rate of change and improvement in the physiology and expression of the child.
Wow.
And so oftentimes I work with children that have neurological deficits, ADHD, autism, behavioral challenges, depression, anxiety, but you can't really do this session on an eight-year-old child. I mean, you could, it would be challenging, but when we do the session on the parent, we see dramatic improvement in the child.
Wow, isn't that remarkable? So tell me this, do you think that it has an impact through the soul's journey of the child or of the parent? Do you see what I mean? It's not just this lifetime.
Right. Right, exactly. And there is, you know, again, in the Empower Thyself program is a 2-day intensive overview of what the Mystery School is about and how it works and all the different energies and the different areas of study. So we go deep into that soul's connection in that class.
Wow.
But there's definitely a connection.
So if a person went for the life activation, they could be tapping also some freedom from soul stuff. Is that true?
I don't know that freedom from soul stuff is the right word, but it can help us to remove the debris that we hold in our subconscious mm-hmm. so that we can recognize very clearly the difference between opportunity and distraction in this life, mm-hmm. free from the things that we've carried from the past.
And before I get into what you're doing in the other, what did you call the group that goes through, what did you call the class that you just talked about?
Empower Thyself.
Yeah, and that's a 2-day class. Before we go to that, let's talk about what is lineage, ancient lineage, and this mystery schools. Can you talk a bit about that? Give us a structure, because apparently you have a number of lineages.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are 7 ancient lineage mystery schools still alive and happening, still functioning on the planet today. And they've been around for thousands and thousands of years. However, in the past, the mystery schools have been closed. They've been hidden or secret. And only one mystery school can be open at a time per 100 years. And so in the past, like the mystery school, you know, when it's charged to be opened, it may have been open for a day or maybe a week or a month, but then they typically close again and go back into hiding or secrecy. The current open mystery school is the North American Mystery School, which is in Toronto, Ontario, and it's been open and functioning open since 1997.
Wow.
And so what that means is that prior to that date, you had to be chosen and invited into the mystery school to receive any of these teachings and handing down. But since 1997, with the Modern Mystery School opening, it's been available to anyone that's seeking that finds it. And it will remain open until Shambhala happens, so that the Mystery School is still carrying out the mission of King Solomon, which was to create Shambhala, or to create peace on earth.
How wonderful it is. I just wonder about kind of like who is being prepared to go to a mystery school. That's a certain kind of preparation, must be a cellular thing that's gone on for lifetimes. Is that right? Being ready to find it.
Right.
Being ready to seek it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And most of the people that do find it have already been doing some form of service work on the planet, whether it's service to themselves or others. And that can be through healing work, it can be through community work, it can be through their own personal path of progression and healing their own, you know, inner child, old wounds, old traumas. But, you know, most people will go through some form of self-initiation before they find themselves in the mystery school. And, you know, going back to the two-day Empower Thyself, it's this, like I said, it's an intense overview of all of the different aspects of the mystery school. So it's kind of a surface teaching of everything that the mystery school has to offer. And at the end of those 2 days, you have the option of initiation, which is literally where the sword is dropped on your shoulders. And there's a physical alchemical process that happens to shift the physiology of that person into a different flow so that they can then be more effective in their life. And so there's a lot of things around empowerment that come with that. You know, it's like we don't need the authority. We already have it, but it's a different level of access to be able to use the power that we have within us to create in new ways on the planet and to align with our purpose so that we can be more effective in our lives. Hmm. And so there are many levels of initiation that happen. So in the lineage of King Solomon, one of the things that was very unique about him is he trained all of his healers to be warriors and all of the warriors to be healers.
Oh, that's
and so there are two main paths.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so on the healer's path, you learn different modalities for healing, both yourself and for facilitating healing in others. Because truly, the only person that we can really heal is ourselves. But we can offer and facilitate that in others and allow them to step into their path of progression. Now, on the warrior path, it's more dealing with the shadow work, the shadow side of things. And so as you progress in the spiritual path that the mystery school offers, you would do both, or you have the option to do both. Most people do choose to do both.
It sounds like if King Solomon's system was recognizing those two, but teaching each of them to understand the others, that was the basis of neurology, wasn't it?
Well, I would say a basis of neurology, but it's also linking, when to be in your power, when to stand strong, and when to have mercy and compassion. Because if you don't understand the balance of that, it's going to be really hard to be effective in life.
Wow, that's for sure. So now you said in the mystery schools there are seven lineages, seven ancient lineages, right? No, wait a second.
There are seven ancient mystery schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, each one has a different purpose. Each one aligns with a different chakra. There's a whole four-hour class that I do on that, too, going into the depth of it, the energy of each, what they stand for, what their purpose is, where they're located, different things like that, yes. But yeah, so there are seven active on the planet right now.
We were speaking earlier and you were talking about the different tools that would be used, like astral travel, sacred geometry. Do you want to talk about the various aspects of this learning?
Yeah, sure. So there are many tools and foundational practical aspects that you can apply to wield the energy and to kind of build your senses and your ability to live a more multi-dimensional life. And so there's a lot around ritual prayer and meditation and how to utilize them, when to utilize them, which ones are used for what aspect. And then there's other avenues that you can kind of go down, like offshoots or roads. So there's astral travel, sacred geometry. There are actually seven levels of sacred geometry that are taught openly right now. And I mean, that in itself is a whole, like, very vast, beautiful study in itself. Just sacred geometry alone, there's so much information and there's so much
do
that
you
can
teach
do with
that?
It, like utilizing crystals. And I do. I teach the more introductory levels, and then there are a couple of other local teachers in this area that teach the deeper levels. And then, like the more advanced levels are taught in Toronto at the Mystery School headquarters.
Wonderful.
But let's see what else. There's we go into all the different elemental energies. So like you can learn about dragon magic and the lore and energy of dragons, mer magic, fairies and elven magic. There's a really cool introductory class called the 12 races on Earth, which talks about the other beings that are here on the planet and what their role is and how we can interact with them.
Go ahead.
Well, not human, per
okay.
se.
All right.
But there are other beings that we share the planet with. And some of them are visible and available in plain sight, and others are behind the veil, but the veil is open. So if you are open, you can see beyond the veil. And it teaches us how to access that and open our mind to that.
And what would be the advantage?
In terms of which part?
If you're
like
going
working
to
with
open,
other elemental beings?
Yeah, but various different people. You said there were some different beings. There were 12 beings, 12 types of beings.
Different races.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's, okay, like everyone pretty much understands three-dimensional living.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like you can see a two-dimensional picture. We live in 3D. So most people on the planet right now live in four dimensions. So there's four-dimensional living. So we see things in three dimensions, but we can also feel and sense other things. But there are 12 physical dimensions and 7 spiritual dimensions that we have access to. And so the benefit of understanding that is it changes the way that we move through our daily life. Like it gives us access to energies and abilities that are beyond the three-dimensional life. And there's a lot that we can do with that. Like if you look at all of the greats of our planet, Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, Carl Jung, Rudolf Steiner, some more current ones, Carlos Santana, David Bowie. These are all people who did really beautiful, great things on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they were all initiates in the lineage of King Solomon. And part of the reason that they made such a huge impact is because they could harness the energy and understanding of multidimensional living that allowed them to create things that were new and exciting, that were beyond what was currently happening in their period of time. And like we have the capacity to do that. We all do. We all have the capacity to access our psychic senses and to create and experience life through a filter of joy mm-hmm. and a filter of newness that that the mundane matrix life doesn't allow. So the benefit is like living life through joy, you know,
sounds
creating
wonderful.
From a larger capacity.
But it's learning to perceive and accept life. And it's like when you talk about sacred geometrics and so on, I'm thinking about the feelings. Mm-hmm. When you're talking also about empathy and so on, I'm seeing it's all about feeling in rapport with those as well, is it not? Feeling the power, being empowered by.
Right.
How do you use
it? Yeah, I mean, sacred geometry does a lot of different things. Like, when we look at sacred geometry, it's the language of all creation. So it precedes spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can see it everywhere in nature. And then in the second level of sacred geometry, you learn how to use crystals to hold energy in spaces. Crystal healing, which is an ancient shamanic technique that's used to create, shift, and change deep relaxation in different aspects of a person's being or their energy field. You also learn crystal readings, crystal rites. The third level is an Egyptian aura healing using the geometries, which is like powerful and amazing, but so simple. And that's a healing modality you can do on yourself or on others. The fourth level, you learn about creating sacred temples using the geometry and bringing in and holding energy and power in that way. The fifth level is another level of healing and again, a modality that you can do on yourself or on others, you know, and it just kind of builds upon there and there and there. Just like they, you know, the rabbit hole goes so far and wide in every aspect of what these teachings offer. So if there's an area like you really love shamanism and earth magic, that lower vibrational magic, which is lower vibrational magic doesn't mean it's less than, it just means it's a different frequency. Mm-hmm. And so like working with the earth, working with elements, working with plants, working with the crystals, you know, you can go so deep into just that one piece of study, you know, and then there's alchemy, the process of creation and, you know, the seven steps of alchemy. You can go very deep into that. You can go into the Egyptian energy and magic. I mean, there's like, it's one of the things that I love about this being a consistent student of study. Like I love study. Well, there's two things that I love about this work. It never stops. There are always questions and there are always answers and it can just keep on going. So you can delve deeper and deeper and deeper and there's always more. And then on the other side of it is none of this work is knowledge for the sake of knowledge. It's all knowledge for the sake of use and application. And so it's knowledge applied. And that part for me has been super fun because, you know, I can read a book and get enjoyment out of that. But if I'm not putting it to use, it's kind of like, for me, I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So in this work, it never teaches the subject. It doesn't teach about the subject. It just teaches you the subject. Like, what do you do with this? How do you use it? How do you do it? What is the experience? What does it feel like? What does it look like? Like, you know, so it's a very experiential process.
Well, it's interesting. You talked about King Solomon and Shambhala, that a lot of his teachings were about mm-hmm. peace on earth, right? And I'm thinking while you talk mm-hmm. or I'm seeing how unlimitable we are as a species, but we don't know that. It's almost like all these things that you're talking about that are so thrilling and beautiful are access points or gateways or tools that we can use to become unlimited, right?
Right, right. You know, the purpose of almost all of these modalities is to bring us back to the core of who we are. The, you know, the process of walking this spiritual path is to know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing thyself, you start to recognize the divinity within. And if we live from that place of divinity and treated each other in that way, think about how different life would be. Like, what would your life look like if you let go of humdrum drama of mundane life and saw yourself as a divine being and carried yourself in that way and lived through that filter mm-hmm. and saw every other person that you encountered and interacted with as a divine being?
I think that would be just marvelous, darling. But tell me about death, too. Talk about death from all of these perspectives.
Well, the Mystery School philosophy is that we are eternal spiritual beings here having a physical experience. So we were never born and therefore we can never die.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in this rental vehicle, if you will, this physical body here with a purpose. You know, and part of that purpose in physicality is to learn how to create in the physical.
As I think it's also to handle the, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually. I think it's to handle the collective, meaning can we still grow through it? Do you see what I mean? Are we going to be developed by the collective thought or can we break through it?
Well, I think part of the process of understanding to know yourself is recognizing when you're being influenced by the collective consciousness. Is it a positive influence or is it a negative influence? What influence are you having on the collective consciousness? What's your input? You know, and then what do we do with that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
Well, and this whole thing about death, about we were never born and we never die, I knew that as a child, you know. But it also mm-hmm. fascinates me these days where so many people are having near-death experiences, you know. And I wonder about using all of these wonderful tools like the astral travel, the sacred geometrics, or, you know, the various things you were talking about. Can we affect our own neurology in order to die with a conscious sort of an approach that takes with us the wisdom and releases the rest and moves easily without pain, sort of thing. Trusting.
I believe that we can.
Yeah.
I believe that we can.
I believe we can too. So I think Do you have any stories about people that you've worked with? Not necessarily about death, but about anything that, you know, broken bones, broken brains.
Well, I could say that, you know, the one thing that's very consistent with all the people that I've worked with in this modality or in this work is it does affect change. This is not a process for the person that wants to stay stagnant in their life or is very comfortable with where they're at. This really is something that helps people to really up-level in their life and shift and change very rapidly. And so, like, when, you know, kind of revisiting someone after a life activation 3 months later and you talk to them, you know, if I ask, like, so what did you notice about this session? Most people are like, I don't really know. I mean, I was relaxed. But then 3 months later, they're like, oh my gosh, I got a new job. I just moved into this new house. My relationship is amazing. You know, and not always. There's some hard things that you deal with too, because as you bring in more light, you're putting light on the shadows. So it's like, I really recognize this pattern about myself that, like, I'm just ready to let go of, you know? And so, like, it does create shift and change. And I have seen dramatic differences with people. Like, it's, you know, as I mentioned before, it really helps you to identify the difference between opportunities and distractions. Mm-hmm. And so if there are things in your life that you tolerate, you know, in this work, you no longer will be able to tolerate them. You'll be very clear, like, I do not like this and I do not want this in my life. Therefore, I'm letting it go. And the attachment to it is less because you're ready to let it go.
Hmm.
And so it clears that space to allow you to bring in more of what you are seeking. And sometimes it's trial and error. You might be like, this is what I want. And then very quickly you manifest that and realize this was not what I wanted. You know,
but you think so it increases the rate of
sunshine and rainbows,
but it increases the speed at which
of manifestation.
Yeah, that's wonderful, isn't it?
It does.
So if somebody, you know, wants to have a baby, right? And I know a lot of people in the metaphysical spiritual worlds who would concentrate on getting to know the spirit that they wanted to bring through, or that kind of thing, or some wanting to prime themselves to have released almost like a lot of DNA stuff. They thought, in order to bring through someone who would be more loving and more peaceful. I'm thinking about King Solomon, I go, well, sort of applying the peace principle to the collective. Have you worked with any people who are wanting to get pregnant?
I have, yeah. I have one couple in particular that they had been trying for 8 years. They tried a lot of different things, and then they started looking into adoption even. And within a month of her life activation, they ended up pregnant.
Aww.
And then he ended up getting life activated a couple months after. And I actually got to assist on the delivery of their child, which was an amazing experience. And so it's, you know, kind of aside from the metaphysical side of things, I've worked in the birth, kind of the birth world for quite a while, because I also am certified in pediatric perinatal and prenatal work chiropractically. And so I usually assist on 6 or 7 deliveries a year. And it is such a gift. It's such an honor to be in that room and experience that child taking their first breath. Because in the mystery school, they say the soul tethers to the physical body upon first breath of life.
Wow.
And then I've also been in, you know, the experience of working with, I had a good friend who her child was born, 24 weeks. So she was born pretty premature and was on NICU oxygen, you know, ICU for a period of time. So she had not yet taken her own first breath. And I got to go in and be with the family and, you know, check the child. And, you know, well, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this out loud, but I did an adjustment. And working with her spine and nervous system, this tiny little 3.5 pound infant, when she did take her first breath, it was one of the most impactful experiences that I've ever witnessed as a doctor.
Really?
And now she's 3.5 and doing super well, very healthy and spirited, great, great child.
I should expect that a child like that would know herself quite well. Do you think that's true? Is that an assumption?
Right. I think that most children like understand their divinity, but they don't have context yet to express it verbally, you know, but they live it. They live in that place of joy. They live in present time consciousness. We learn to let go of that stuff. Like, we learn to hide and create masks and have fear, you know, and much of that is for our own protection. Mm-hmm. But yeah, children are already born perfect.
Isn't that marvelous? So I guess I want to ask about simple things like, not simple, but autism. And do you think it's a sign mm-hmm. of the times? You know, do you want to mention vaccination or is that too political?
I don't think it's too political. I work with a lot of neurologically challenged families. Mm-hmm. And I always tell parents, like, autism is a gift. That child is typically very gifted. We just need to learn how to unwrap the box. Mm. You know, they process and filter their experience of life differently than the average. And if we can access what about them makes them passionate or what about them, like, makes them tick, then when they can express through that and be understood in that gift, their whole life shifts. You know, the expression of their life, the experience of their life, their parents' understanding of them, their understanding of the world, it completely changes. And it's such a beautiful thing. But all of these children, every autistic child that I've worked with has had, like, some very unique, impeccable gift about them. But because they get locked in to what society thinks is normal, their expression ends up coming out, like, disrupted or just kind of misunderstood oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And so they act out or they have outbreaks or outbursts and, you know, there's...
Our parents are afraid, don't know what
to
do.
Right. And, you know, modern medicine, I think, has come a long way in terms of how to help and support these families. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that from a chemical perspective, but from like an occupational therapy perspective or from neurological integration techniques and different brain repatterning and things like that. But chiropractic has been doing that for years. So it's kind of interesting to, you know, to watch the difference of how things are being offered to these families.
So Does the life activation help an autistic person balance differently or strengthen the gifts that they have?
It does. So I'm working with a family right now. The daughter is 6 and she's been pretty oppositional, high functioning autistic, and she has a photographic memory. She's highly intelligent, but her expression was rage and violence. And so the challenge for her family was rage and violence. They have 2 younger children, and their fear was that she may impact or affect the other children. And so both parents got life activated. And within 2 weeks' time, her outbursts minimized to less than once a week, whereas they were 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day.
Wow.
She no longer is banging her head against the wall, so she's no longer, like, committing violence to herself.
Wow.
And she's become a lot more social. She's coming in and giving compliments. And so the child is getting chiropractic care mm-hmm. and the parents received the life activation, but literally within 2 weeks' time, it was complete shift.
Wow. And you're saying basically the child doesn't need life activation if the parent has it. Is that always the case?
Not always the case. However, it's really important with this work that consent is given, and the child really is not at an age where they can give consent.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Wow, this is really exciting. So mm-hmm. what about seniors? What about older people? What about Alzheimer's?
I have not worked with a person that has Alzheimer's. However, so in the mystery school, as I mentioned, there's the warrior path and there's the healer's path. Mm-hmm. There's also the study called Universal Kabbalah.
Okay.
And a lot of people have heard of Kabbalah through, like, Madonna or the Jewish faith. And this particular teaching of Kabbalah it's not faith-based. It's not a religious aspect. It's universal. So there's no dogma, no religion. And we mean no disrespect to the Jewish faith for the way that they've preserved and carried forward Kabbalah. However, in this study, it's the metaphysical alchemical process of studying the tree of life, mm-hmm. the 10 aspects of our divinity, and how they are in balance and out of balance in our life. This study helps to heal the mind.
Oh, wow.
And again, this also works linearly. So, like, my father, my birth father, was schizophrenic.
Oh, wow. Really?
And, yeah. So, which that's the mental health side of things. Like, I have many theories and thoughts about that. That would be a whole nother hour-long conversation.
I really love that. Let's book that.
Yeah, perfect. But, you know, the study of Kabbalah and the process of going through the physical alchemical ascension process helps to heal the mind. And it's the way that it works is hard to explain without actually going really into depth about the study of Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. But it is said to help heal familial lines of mental illness. And I saw a huge shift. I just did my first tree or my first 10-month ascension process. It was at the very end of my birth father's life. And right before he died was the most lucid I had ever seen him as an adult.
Wow.
And so in my adult life. And
you attribute that to the life activation, do you? Oh, no, the Kabbalah.
Well, the life activation, but also the study of Kabbalah. Mm-hmm.
Did he study it, or did you just?
Kabbalah could be a, he didn't. Yeah, okay. No.
This is so remarkable, because as you speak of these different people and the impact of, say, the mother doing the work and the impact on the child, it's all just reaffirmation of this connection we all are, and the words in the Kabbalah, they all have a DNA impact anyway, don't they? They have a resonance.
There definitely is, you know, and if I'm not sure if you're familiar with the glyph, the Tree of Life.
Yes, but, a little bit, yeah.
It's a picture of it. Well, if you stack a tree upon a tree upon a tree upon a tree and you spin it, because it's a three-dimensional, living, breathing, moving system, mm-hmm. That is our DNA. So they talk about that the Tree of Life is the map of creation, or the blueprint of creation, which is also the blueprint of our DNA.
Wow.
So, yeah, huge impact.
Wow. Well, this has been a really exciting time. I have to say goodbye, but only for now, because you're going to hear from me again, and I'm sure from the listeners. And this has been Jeannie Markwell. Tell us how we can get hold of you. I'd like to come down for a life activation soon.
Yeah, I would love to have you come down. You can reach me via either of my websites. The first one is illume-innate.com. So it's illume-innate.com. My chiropractic site is PeerView Chiropractic, and that's PeerView chiropractic.com. There's email access and my phone numbers on each of the sites. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and all the social media things. I love what I do. Please do reach out if you have any questions or you know, want to be connected with someone in your area, or want to know more information about the Mystery School or the Life Activation or the Empower Thyself initiation. You know, happy to share, happy to chat, happy to meet. So,
I really appreciate your time. And as I said, we'll be talking again. And I think the thing that I'm touched the most with is that one of the things that I'm passionate about is being able to embody this evolution that some of us really seek diligently. And you seem to be doing that so well. And I thank you for that, Jeannie. Mm. Wow, Jeannie Markwell, what a lot of information, but also how great it is to surf the edges of a very changing and dynamic part of history. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I hope you're listening to my podcast of Paradigm Shifters, and I'd love to get some feedback. So let me know what you think and what you would like to hear about. VeronicaEntwistle.com, or check the archives on bbsradio.com under Veronica Entwistle, under Paradigm Shifters. Thank you again for listening.